Our scriptural passage for this morning shall be taken from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 55 through 57. I will read for your hearing verses 54 to 58. Listen to these words by the Apostle Paul as he writes to the early day church. So then, this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the works of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you with excitement and joy one of my favorite quotes during Easter. It comes from John Irvin. Listen well. Anyone can be sentimental about the nativity. Even a fool can feel like a Christian at Christmas. But Easter is the main event. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not a believer. End of quote. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, The Greatest Comeback in History. The Greatest Comeback in History. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. The Greatest Comeback in History. The Greatest Comeback in History. And I must admit, it's not have anything to do with the NCAA tournament and how Villanova came back last night in the wee wee hours of the night to beat Kansas. Has nothing to do with that at all. But it's about the greatest comeback that has ever been historically recorded. It is the comeback of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is a great day. Churches all over the world celebrate Easter. Actually, a word that only appears in the book of Acts, and it was really not Easter that they were calling Easter as we know it today, but it was resurrection. You heard the choir share in this anthem as it relates to the resurrection. And we are indeed resurrection people and Easter people, but we cry out from the depths of our souls, hallelujah. Say it with me, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we don't often use that word in church, but it's a word that deals with worship, calling us to worship and give praises to God, that our God, whom we serve, is not dead. He is alive. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. If you look at this text in its entirety, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, you will see that it indeed is a long chapter. It covers 58 verses. The Apostle Paul has given us this golden nugget, known to us, as many biblical scholars would tell us, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is indeed the Christian doctrine of the faith. It reminds us that indeed we serve and we worship a God who is alive. Paul shares in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles and you look closely, you'll see where the Apostle Paul, he shares out of the depths of his soul, he shares as it relates to not that he was indeed an eyewitness, but what was told unto him. And Paul shares as it relates to the disciples who followed Jesus and how Jesus rose from the dead and indeed life changed for them forevermore. If you have your sermon notes to haste along, and if you look at the bottom, it talks about 3 days that changed history. But has it changed you? Has it changed me? The Apostle Paul is very explicit. He talks about the resurrection of Jesus. He even gives reference to the gospel writers. All 4 gospel writers record the resurrection story, and then Acts carries it on. Now, here's the Apostle Paul with his interpretation. And Paul gives us a personal reference, because when we're people of faith, we got to tell somebody. When Christ has changed our lives, then we ought to be able to share boldly our commitment, our response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Look at Paul sharing in 1 Corinthians. Paul even refers to himself as one who was born out of due season, out of time. Why? Glad you asked. Because the Apostle Paul realized that indeed he one at once was persecuting the church and the believers of the faith. He states that right here in the 15th chapter. But then Paul had an encounter with Christ, and he gives reference to the grace of God, that he had even given grace unto me. God is so gracious. Here's the Apostle Paul, one who would wreak havoc upon the believers, one who would arrest the believers, and now Paul's life is forever changed. Jesus can change your life around. Did you see what Rose did today? Rose accepted Christ and accepted membership in Christ's church. That is the most important item of the agenda today. When one comes to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let me give you a footnote on that. At the last service, we received a phone call last Wednesday that a young man who's dating a young lady, that's not your business who it is. I don't even know her. But she's a member of this church. He's getting ready to be deployed. He's going into the armed services. He called and wanted to know if he could be baptized at the 9:30 service. He knew we'd already printed the program, the bulletin, but he wanted to be baptized. He wanted to accept Christ before he goes and defend the United States. Of course, you know the answer to that. Yes, that is the main ingredients of the church. That is why we're here. This young man, he came to the 9:30 service, and unfortunately, his girlfriend had to take her baby to the hospital and could not be here, but he wanted to be in service. He wanted to accept Christ, and guess what? 27-year-old man wanted to be baptized as well, that Christ may cover his life. Because things could change in a twinkling of an eye. One day, everything is going fine. But the next day, you're in a chaotic situation. What a difference a day makes. One day, you can bounce up like a little baby and move and have all your movement, and then the next day, you can barely move. One day you're talking about you're the epitome of health, and then the next day you're taking all types of medications to keep you going. One day you have no trouble, but guess what? The next day you have too much trouble. One day you're riding high on the apex of the mountain, but in the next moment you're in the valley of despair. And what you need is this word right here. What is it? Hope. We all need hope. This morning, Beverly shared a beautiful message as it relates to hope and how even little children, they seek hope. They hope that they can receive an increase in their allowances. We all have our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations. We all want life to be better than what it is today or even yesterday. Think about Jesus and his life. One day everything looks well. They bring him in Jerusalem. Even have a parade for him. Put him on a donkey that no one had ever been on his backside. But oh, what a difference several days will make. They paraded him in. And then later on Friday, they put a cross on his back and was leading him up to Calvary's rugged hill. What a difference a day makes. One day on Palm Sunday, they're saying, Hosanna in the highest. They have palm branches as a symbol of victory, as a symbol of honor. But on Good Friday, the same crowd is saying, crucify. It's a good notion for all of us to remember you have to be careful of those who praise you on one day and the next day want to crucify you. There was a song in the late 70s that said, "There's a smile in your face." Somebody ought to say it with me. All the time trying to take your place. They're called the what? The backstabbers. That happened to Jesus. It happened to Jesus. They praised him on one day, but on Good Friday, it wasn't good for him, it was good for us. On Good Friday, they holler, crucify him. What does Easter mean to you? Look at your neighbor and ask that question. What does Easter mean to you? I'm going to ask a couple of people in the audience. What does Easter mean to you? Great man of God, what does Easter mean to you?
We are never alone.
We're never alone. We're never alone. Young man, anytime you look that way and I have the mic, that's a clear sign that I want to say something. What does Easter mean to you?
Means hope.
Hope. Very good. You looked at that sign and seen that, didn't you? Easter means hope. Chester, what does Easter mean to you?
Easter means a time of confirmation that Jesus is really our Savior, that he really is who he claimed to be.
Amen. Confirmation. That's right. And lastly, in the balcony, I have Ralph Singleton. Ralph, you're going to have to stand and say it real loud. What does Easter mean to you? That's you, Ralph.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you. Oh. Oh, give them all a hand. Easter means so much to each and every one of us. And the Apostle Paul was very explicit in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Let me help you fill in the blanks that you have in your sermon notes. Here's the next bullet point. If the story of Jesus ended with him being buried in a tomb and with a stone being rolled across the door, there would be no what? Hope today. There would be no hope at all. You look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 19th verse. The Apostle Paul says it this way. If for us we only have hope in Jesus Christ, then we're like most human beings, most pitiful. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying in this life only, if we only have hope in Jesus Christ on this side of earth, and there's no tomorrow, no eternity, then we are most pitiful. In fact, if you read just in the 18th verse of that same chapter, Paul says, then our faith is in what? Vain. In vain. If Christ still be in the grave, then our witness, our preaching, our sharing, our participating in all of our church activities, our devotional time, our 40 days of Lent was nothing but a waste of time. But that's not what the apostle is pointing at. He's pointing to the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at the next bullet point. Here it is. Jesus' resurrection is God's receipt, showing that Jesus' death satisfied the payment demanded for sin. There had to be a payment for sin, S-I-N, your sins and my sins. There had to be a payment for sin. And Jesus Christ was willing to pay for each and every one of our sins. To God be the glory. What is that saying to you? What is that saying to me? Well, let me give you this illustration. It is though we tell you there's a man, a rich man, in church, not the preacher, that's willing to pay all your bills. How many of you would participate in that exercise? You bring all your bills, get your U-Haul together, bring your wagon, everything. Just bring all your bills and he'll pay it. He'll pay them in full. Well, that's what Jesus did. Because of our sin debt, he was willing to give his life on Calvary's rugged cross for you and for me. And Jesus Christ is not our hero. He's not our buddy. He should be our savior. Oh, there's nothing wrong with looking at comic strips. Nothing wrong with looking at historical figures and say, boy, that guy's very heroic, or that young lady. I don't know how many of you remember reading as a kid the comic strips. You remember these guys here? Flash, the Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Catwoman, and here's a guy I would have loved to have hung out with, Popeyes. Popeyes, look at him. He's cool, isn't he? Got his cigar, got his hat, flexing his muscles. You know, Popeyes, he had a strength. And he had a weakness. You know what kept him strong to flex his muscles? Spinach. Yes. You know what kept him weak? Olive. His wife. Girlfriend. You get it. Some of you will get that on the way home. You married people already got it. All right, you got it. You got it. But this Friday, on Good Friday, on the big screen, it was the dawn of justice. Batman versus Superman. Ben and Henry playing the main two characters on the big screen. Batman and Superman. Both had strengths. And both had what? Weaknesses. You look at Batman. Batman has a bodysuit that's bulletproof. Even has a belt, a utility belt that he can use at his disposal. And Batman had a cool ride. It was the Batmobile. But he also had a partner. You remember his name? Robin. But Batman also had his moments of weakness. Even though he cared about people, Batman would have to sleep and he would have to eat, just like you and me. But he also would go against forces that were stronger than him. Well, what about Superman? I'm glad you asked. The Man of Steel. Superman who can soar in the sky. Who can fly faster than a speeding what? Bullet. Superman. Superman, this man of steel, he too cared about people. What was his weakness?
Kryptonite.
Boy, you got it. You seen the movie? All right. Yeah, yeah. Both had strengths and both had weaknesses. Just like you, just like me. One moment we're doing fine. Everyone is looking at our strength. But then there's a time when we have our weakest moments. Well, I want you to look at the text. Look at what Paul was sharing in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, as Paul shares concerning Jesus and Satan. Jesus and Satan was getting ready to have a battle. The canvas would be called Calvary. It was greater than the battle of the Thriller in Manila. It was a battle for humankind's souls. Satan comes along. And indeed, Satan has his strengths. They're listed in the Bible. Look at John, the 10th chapter, in the 10th verse, around the 10th verse, it reminds us that Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes with death that frightens us, that sense of that Greek word, thanatos, which means death, to frighten us. He comes with hell, he comes with sin, and he comes with the grave. To terrify God's believers, to trip up God's believers on every hand. What is weakness? Well, he really thinks a little bit too highly of himself. He thinks that he can defeat God's Son. Well, look at Jesus. Jesus comes with his strength. He comes with all the things he can do, how he has called his disciples to come forward out of their various occupations to follow him. He has numerous of followers. Jesus Christ can perform miracles after the miracles. Jesus Christ has power. He can just speak the word and people will be healed. People will pay their allegiance to him. But he also has a weakness. Look to your neighbor and say, Jesus has a weakness. I'm almost finished. Look to your other neighbor. Say, Jesus has a weakness. Yeah. You know what Jesus' weakness is? Jesus has a weakness for lost sinners. Sinners like you and me. Sinners who don't deserve to be forgiven. Sinners who don't deserve to receive grace, mercy, and unconditional love, he can't help himself. It doesn't take much logic, it doesn't take much reasoning, but he continues to love us over and over again. He continues to love us so much that he was willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice on Calvary's rugged cross, a cross that is an emblem of suffering and shame. He was willing. Why? Because he was weak. Because he loved us. He loves us over and over again. Jesus and Satan has this battle on Calvary's rugged hill. It is though Satan is winning. How do I know? Just read the scriptures. The Bible says that Jesus was pierced in his side. And Jesus Christ hung his head and died. Jesus died. And you can see why now that the disciples' hope died with him. The Bible says that they all scattered. They hid themselves. Jesus died. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And Jesus stayed there the first day. And I can imagine Satan was having a victory party. He stayed there the second day, but early the third day morning. Hallelujah. He got up with all power in his hands. All power. And let me help you fill in the blanks in your sermon notes. Here's the next bullet point. When Jesus rose from the dead, old enemies that plagued humankind since sin entered into the world were forever defeated that day. What are they? Death. Death was defeated. Hell was defeated. The grave was defeated. Sin was defeated. And thank you, God, Satan was defeated that day when Jesus rose from the grave. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. I don't know about for you, but I love Easter. I love Easter. And I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I can see his hand of mercy, and I can hear his voice of cheer. And Cecil, just when I need him the most, he's always near. He lives, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today, for he walks with me and talks with me alone life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.